Chapter 65. Kaylin stopped every step, it seemed, to greet people. She rose up on her toes to gaze out over the crowd, trying to see people she was looking for, people she was excited about seeing again. It seemed like the entire world was assembled in the expansive corridors of the People's Palace. She couldn't ever recall seeing so many people come out for anything. But then this was a special event, something no one had ever seen before. No one wanted to miss it. The world was a different place. With so many people devoted to hatred vanished out of this world and into their own, there was a rebirth, it seemed, of spirit. With fewer people to produce by the toil of labor, the need for food and other goods had spurred labor-saving innovation and inventions. Every day she heard of accomplishments, of new things being developed. The opportunities for individuals to create and prosper were no longer restrained. It seemed the world was in flower. Kaylin stopped when someone caught her arm. She turned to see Jillian, with her grandfather. Kaylin hugged the girl tightly and told her grandfather what a brave young woman she had been and how she had helped to save them all by casting dreams. Her grandfather beamed with pride. Kaylin was besieged by people all wanting to take her hand, to tell her how beautiful she looked, to ask if she and Richard were well. The crowd seemed to float her along. It was a delight to see such celebration, such joy and goodwill come together like this. Several members of the crypt staff stopped her to express their excitement at being invited. She hugged one of the women to stop her from talking. Since Richard had unleashed the power of Orden and grown them their tongues back, Kaylin didn't think that any of the crypt staff had stopped talking. Kaylin spotted Nathan strolling through the hallway. His full head of straight white hair hung to his broad shoulders, holding a blue velvet cape over a ruffled white shirt. He was wearing an elegant sword at his hip. He said that it made him look dashing. He had an attractive woman on each arm, so she guessed that it worked. Kaylin hoped that Richard was as ruggedly handsome wearing his sword when he was 1,000 years old. She waved at Nathan across a sea of people. He pointed, to signify that he would see her with Richard. She headed in that direction. When she spotted Verna, Kaylin caught the prelate's arm. "Verna, you came!" Verna smiled like the sunshine. "I wouldn't think of missing such a thing. How is life at the Wizard's Keep? Are your sisters happy there?" Verna's smile widened. "Kaylin, I can't begin to tell you. We've found a few new gifted boys. They've come to join us, and we've been teaching them. It's so much different than before, so much better. It's all so new and exciting with a first wizard to help. Seeing such young boys coming to know their gift is wondrous." "And life with Zed at the keep?" "Zed has never seemed so happy. With a keep full of people, you would think he would be grumpy. But I tell you, Kaylin, the man has come alive. He's like a child himself again to have Chase and Emma living there now with all their children, and the boys learning their gift. The place is full of life again." Kaylin was getting choked up just hearing about it. "That sounds wonderful, Verna. When are you coming for a visit? Everyone wants to see you and Richard again." "Zed has seen to it that people have come in to repair the damage to the Confessor's Palace. It's looking majestic again. It's ready for you to come back to visit your home whenever you wish. You won't believe all the staff who have returned and are hoping you and Richard will spend some time there." It was such a joy for Kaylin to know that so many people were sincere in their desire to have her around. She had grown up a confessor, a woman feared by all. Now, because of Richard and all that had happened, she was loved as herself and as the mother confessor. "Soon, Verna, soon. Richard has been talking about wanting to get out. The palace is driving him nuts. He is surrounded by marble, and the man wants to go look at trees." Verna kissed Kaylin's cheek before Kaylin started on her way again. She had gone only a short distance when the square-jawed Captain Zimmer saw her and tapped his fist to his chest in salute. "Have any ears to show me, Captain?" He smiled knowingly. "Sorry, Mother Confessor. Haven't needed to collect any lately, thanks to you and Lord Rawl." She gave his shoulder a squeeze as she moved on. She finally spotted Richard through the crowd. He turned to look at her, almost as if he could sense her presence, She didn't doubt that he could. The sight of him, as it always did, made her weak with joy. He looked magnificent in his black war wizard outfit, fitting attire for the occasion. When she reached him, and he circled an arm gently around her waist, drawing her close to kiss her, the rest of the world, the thousands of people, most of them no doubt watching, vanished from her mind. "I love you," he whispered in her ear. "You are the most beautiful woman here." "I don't know, Lord Rawl," she said with a playful smile. "Some more might show up. Better not judge too quickly." Richard saw Victor Casella, with his wolfish grin, tap his fist to his heart in salute. Richard, smiling at the blacksmith, returned the salute in kind. Kaelin spotted Zed then. She threw her arms around the old man. "Zed, don't squeeze the life out of me." She pulled back, gripping his arms. "I'm so glad you came." His grin was infectious. "Wouldn't miss it for the world, dear one. Are you enjoying yourself? Have you had anything to eat?" "I would be enjoying it more if Richard would leave me be so I could sample a few of the delightful-looking treats." Richard made a face. "Zed, the kitchen staff run when they see you." "Well, if they don't like to cook, they shouldn't have become cooks." Kaelin felt someone grab her hand. "Rachel!" She bent and hugged the girl. "How are you?" "Wonderful. Zed has been teaching me to draw, when he's not eating." Kaelin laughed. "Do you like living at the keep?" Rachel beamed. "It's the most fun ever. I have brothers and sisters and friends, and Chase and Emma, of course. I think Chase really likes being a keep warden."
"I bet he does," Richard said.
"And someday," Rachel added, "we may move to Tamarang to live in the castle, but Zed says that I'm a long way from ready for that." Rachel had been born with royal blood that carried the ability to draw spells in the sacred caves. She was, technically, the queen of Tamarang. Someday she was going to make a grand queen and draw wonderful things. "Zed," Kaelin said, "have you seen Addie?"
"Yes," Zed smiled to himself. "Friedrich Gilder makes her happy. If ever there was a woman who deserved to find happiness, I think it's Addie. Lucky for her, she traveled to the keep back when the palace was under siege and ran into Friedrich. The two of them just seemed to hit it off. Now that Eidendrill is back full of life, Friedrich has more work gilding than he can handle. I can hardly get him to do any work for us at the keep."
"And you're all right?" Kaelin asked. His brows lifted. "Well, I will be when you and Richard come and stay for a while." He shook a finger at Richard.
"I tell you, Richard, sometimes I feel like you've gone off to the underworld, to live at the Temple of the Winds."
Richard leveled an even look at his grandfather. "The Temple of the Winds isn't in the underworld."
"Of course it is. It was banished there during..."
"I brought it back." Zed stiffened.
"What?"
Richard nodded with the slightest smile. "When I went to the underworld before I opened the Power of Orden, I did a few little things. While the Gateway of Orden was open, I was able to put the temple back where it belongs, in this world. It was designed, created, and built by the mind of man. The things in it were the creations of the mind of man. It belongs to man. I brought it back to those of us who value such genius." Zed still hadn't blinked.
"But it's dangerous."
"I know. I made sure that for now no one but me can get in. I figured that when you're not busy, you and I can go visit it. It's quite a remarkable place, actually. In the Hall of Sky, the ceiling of stone is like a window showing the sky across its surface. It's so beautiful. I'd love to be the one to show you a place that no one else has seen in 3,000 years. Zed's jaw was hanging. He held up a finger.
"Richard, did you do anything else while the Gateway of Orden was open?"
Richard shrugged. "A few things."
"Like what?"
"Well, for one thing, I fixed it so that red fruit in the Midlands is no longer poison, just like I promised you I would a long time ago."
"What else?"
"Well, I... Oh, look, it's time to start. I have to go. We'll talk later." Zed's brow drew down.
"You had better believe we will."
Taking Kaelin's hand, Richard ascended the steps to the platform of the devotion square. Egan and Ulick stood with their hands casually clasped, waiting for the Lord Rawl.
Richard took his place, Kaelin at his side. The crowd spread out through the vast hallway, quieted. When Kaelin finally saw her coming, she smiled so broadly that it made her cheeks hurt. The crowd parted along the seemingly endless red carpet for the couple approaching the platform. The escorts followed in a long trail. Kara, looking positively radiant, ascended the steps with Benjamin at her side, holding his arm. He looked magnificent in his dress uniform. Benjamin was now General Myfert, commander of the first file at the People's Palace. Kara, like all the moored Sith following behind, was wearing her white leather. With Benjamin's dark uniform, they made a stunning couple. In a way, it reminded Kaelin of herself in her white confessor's dress, and Richard in his black war wizard outfit. Nikki, as beautiful as ever, smiled as she stood among the moored Sith to represent Kara as her official witness. "Are you ready?" Richard asked. Kara and Benjamin nodded, too giddy to answer, Kaelin thought. Richard leaned down a little, fixing Benjamin in his raptor glare. "Ben, don't you ever hurt her, do you hear me?" "Lord Rawl, I don't think I could hurt her if I wanted to." "And you know what I mean." Benjamin smiled broadly. "I know what you mean, Lord Rawl." "Good," Richard said with a smile as he straightened. "But I can still hurt him if I want, right?" Kara asked. Richard lifted an eyebrow. "No." Kara grinned. Richard looked out over the silent crowd. "Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today to be a part of something wonderful. The start of the life of Kara and Benjamin Myfert together. They both have proven themselves to be the finest examples of the kind of people we all hope to be. Strong, wise, loyal to those they care about, and willing to overcome everything to embrace the highest values we have, life. They wish to share that life with each other." Richard's voice broke just a bit. "No one in this room is more proud of that, or them, than I am. Kara, Benjamin, both of you are bound not by these words spoken before us all, but by your own hearts. These are simple words, but in simple things there is great power." Kaelin recognized the words from their own wedding. She thought that he could offer no greater respect for them than to use some of those same words for Kara and Benjamin. Richard cleared his throat and paused for a moment to compose himself. "Kara, will you have Benjamin as your husband, and will you love and honor him for all time?" "I will," Kara said in a clear voice that carried over the crowd. "Benjamin," Kaelin said, "will you have Kara as your wife, and will you love and honor her for all time?" "I will," he said in an equally clear voice. "Then before your friends and loved ones, your people," Richard said, "you are now wedded for all time." Kara and Benjamin came together in an embrace, kissing, as the moored Sith behind them cried and the crowd went wild. When the noise finally died down, and the kiss finally ended, Richard held out a hand, inviting them to come and stand beside him and Kaelin. Budine was still crying tears of joy on Nida's shoulder. Kaelin saw that Rikka, tears brimming, wore a pink ribbon in her hair that Nikki had given her. Richard stood tall and proud as he looked out over all the faces watching him. If Kaelin didn't see all the thousands gathered, she would have thought the halls were empty. It was that quiet. Richard spoke, then, in a voice that all could hear. "To exist in this vast universe for a speck of time is the great gift of life. Our tiny sliver of time is our gift of life. It is our only life. The universe will go on, indifferent to our brief existence. But while we are here, we touch not just part of that vastness, but also the lives around us. Life is the gift each of us has been given. Each life is our own, and no one else's. It is precious beyond all counting. It is the greatest value we can have. Cherish it for what it truly is."
Kara put her arms around his neck. Thank you, Richard, for everything.
It is my great honor, Kara, he said as he hugged her.
Oh, by the way, Kara whispered in his ear. Shota stopped to see me just a while ago. She wanted me to give you a message.
Really? What message?
She said that if you ever come back to Agaton Reach, she will kill you.
Richard pulled back in surprise. Really? She said that?
Kara nodded, grinning. But she was smiling when she said it.
And then the bell calling people to devotion rang. Before anyone could move, Richard again spoke. There will be no more devotions. None of you have to kneel before me or anyone else. Your life is yours alone. Rise up and live it.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Confessor by Terry Goodkind. Copyright 2007 by Terry Goodkind. Performed by Sam Chujibis. Directed by Noah Riley. Engineered by Troy Harrison. Performance copyright 2007 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, Post Office Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.